Yep, the World Cup hits the halfway point with three of our six games now complete. How are we measuring up? And are our local businesses seeing a World Cup boom or bust?
Our patio has been full the whole time.
Extremely busy at times. We're not normally busy.
It's been dead in a ghost town.
We even close early on Tuesday because it was dead.
Also this half hour, the signatures have been verified this week for a public vote on a new Royals ballpark at Crown Center. What happens now? And is Kansas City maxing out its credit card as City Hall opens its wallet again, this time for a big expansion of the new CPKC Stadium? And could this be right? More on the big headlines in Kansas that claims this year's contentious U.S. Senate election could be postponed if Roger Marshall resigns to take a rumored new job with the Trump administration. Those stories and the rest of the week's news straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Francis Family Foundation, through the discretionary fund of David and Janice Francis, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes, and we are thrilled to bits to have you with us on our weekly journey through the Metro's most impactful, confusing, and downright head-scratching local news stories. Hopping on board the Week in Review bus with us this week, KSHB 41 political reporter Charlie Keegan. From the anchor desk at KNBC 9 News, Chris Ketz. Just inducted into the Missouri Newspaper Hall of Fame, the Star's senior opinion columnist, Murray Rose Williams. Thanks for being with us. And former Star staffer, now Mr. Kansas City Stack on Substack, Dave Helling. Well, Kansas City's contribution to the World Cup reaches its halfway point this week. We now have three games of six under our belts, making it a natural time for a progress report. How are we doing?
That was the most atmosphere I've ever been in for a sport.
Already, yes, the Netherlands played Tunisia at Kansas City Stadium this week, but events downtown seem to capture all the headlines and the attention of the global press. Was it because, Chris Ketz, we broke the world record for the most people wearing an orange shirt at the same time?
It was probably hard to get an orange T-shirt anywhere in town this week. But Thursday's March to the Match, probably between 20 and 22,000 Dutch soccer fans from here in this country, but certainly from overseas as well, marching down Grand from the P&L to the FIFA Fan Fest set up there. What a sight, what a delight, what a joy to be in the middle of that, and for Kansas City to be center stage for something like that. That's big.
And we saw you. You were the 79th row back there, Murray, because you were there. Were you wearing an orange shirt?
I was not wearing an orange shirt, but I was there. I wanted to be in the middle of all of that. But you know what I think was really wonderful about that? A lot of the people who were there were not necessarily Netherlands fans. Yeah. They were just Kansas Cityans who wanted to be a part of the whole thing. And so they got their orange shirt, and they came out there, and it was fantastic.
No, there seemed to be a lot of things on social media. Oh, it was not as big as a Royals parade. Oh, it wasn't as big as a Chief parade. But remember, they hadn't won anything. This is just a group game in the World Cup. But the other thing that struck me, Charlie, was the fact that if you go to a Royals or a Chiefs parade, you're there to watch this. In this sense, you are the parade. You are participating in it, which was different.
This had a much different feel than a Chiefs-Royals parade because of that participatory nature of it. You were encouraged to get behind that big orange bus and follow it down, and they're playing songs, and there's dance, choreographed dances to the left, to the right, that they want you to participate in, and that brought a whole new energy to it.
Who knew that you were supposed to parade before the championship? In Kansas City, we always believe you parade after you win the championship. That didn't happen in this case.
That's the power of soccer.
But the photographs, the video was just astonishing, wasn't it, Nick? And I do think that the nation was tuning in to see these displays and really reacted positively to what happened in Kansas City.
We want to dial things back, though. We know that obviously everybody is absolutely in love with it. Some people don't like it. Let's get to somewhere in the middle here. First of all, did we solve the traffic problems at this point in time?
It appears we have. From Thursday night's match, we talked to a bunch of people at Union Station who had come off the bus at the game. They had no trouble getting into the sports complex. They had no trouble getting into the stadium. Now, the crowds were probably a little smaller than maybe opening night against with Argentina. Still, I think they have that figured out.
What about our local businesses? Are they cashing in? If you watch our local TV news, it looks like their response is all over the map.
None of us really knew what to expect with the World Cup. We had one party that had 70 people. We had another party that was Argentina that had 20. And then in addition to that, this whole place was full. And our patio has been full the whole time.
Extremely busy at times. We're not normally busy. And then, so it's definitely a net positive.
If you compare, you know, the past 3 weeks to last year's same time, we're down about 7%.
I mean, we even closed early on Tuesday because it was dead.
There was a lot of hype behind it. And like the result is completely polar opposite. It's been dead in a ghost town.
Normal people that would be here, I think, are scared to come down because they think it's going to be no parking and just people all over the place, and it's just not happening.
All righty, Charlie, these are some extreme reactions here because we hear things like Joe's Kansas City Barbecue closing because they want to give their staff a rest because they're so busy, and yet we have so many other places feeling, hey, is there a World Cup going on?
And I guess we maybe should have predicted that there were going to be the barbecue spots would be the big winners, right, in a big tourist-driven event like this. We've seen maybe a win for Kansas City is that it's adjusted its transportation here halfway through. Is there anything that FIFA and KC 2026 can do to help businesses out halfway through and turn it into an overall win? I'd be interested to watch that.
It all seems so very anecdotal, though, these reports. We're not seeing any hard data on what's actually happening, Marie.
Right. But listen, there are so many restaurants and businesses in Kansas City. The 650,000 people who are coming through, they're coming in waves. They're not all here at once. And it's location, 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 and word of mouth, right? So if you're in North Kansas City and everything's happening downtown, you're traveling into Kansas City, you're not going out to North Kansas City to hit a business unless word of mouth has told you that's the best barbecue in town and you got to get there. So that's, I mean, I think that Kansas City is doing really well with this and that the businesses that are doing well are doing very well. No one's coming to Kansas City to buy plants.
The economic boom has been uneven. There are the stories of the bar in Parkville. They did more business in a week than they did in a month. And then there are stories of the restaurant owner in Lawrence, who early on went to all the seminars, followed the advice, invested in additional inventory, hired additional people, and they got nothing in return. And that's where I think the hype is something to, again, focus on. Not that it hasn't been focused on at this table, but people bought into the fact that there might be hundreds of thousands of people coming to Kansas City. And while all of this evidence right now is anecdotal, I think it's been very uneven.
There was concern early on about half-filled stadiums. On last week's show, you talked about, for instance, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the momentum will we keep that energy up. And yet I saw for even this week's game that we had between the Netherlands and Tunisia, it was only about 500, 600 people less than there was for the first opening game with Argentina.
Well, in the rain, too. I mean, you thought the rain might cut into attendance and did not. And that seems to be the case, Nick, for all the stadia across the country that are hosting World Cup games. They all seem filled with a lot of excited fans. I do think we're learning now relative to the business reaction to the World Cup. We're learning that it's doing a little bit better with visitors, a lot of people coming to see our community, see games, rent hotel rooms, but maybe the locals are staying home a little bit more than was anticipated. A lot of folks saying, we just don't want to hassle, we don't want to... And that's why businesses, bars, restaurants on the periphery may not be doing as well as those centrally located, convenient to the Fan Fest, convenient to the Power and Light District, where a lot of the visitors would go.
What about scoring on the issue of security for this World Cup, Charlie?
Well, I feel like things have been pretty well secured at the Fan Fest, at the stadium. You know, we haven't heard about many issues. It's that, you know, highway shooter aspect that's still happening outside of Kansas City that's a little bit more of that wild card.
And that's exactly what, you know, has been this violent period. We had the shooter, as Charlie points out, sending bullets through random vehicles, including an Uber car filled with Argentinian fans on the way to the stadium, a fatal shooting at the 18th and Vine Jazz District, a double murder at a Westport Road Quick Trip, and nine people shot at an unlicensed club on Troost. The mayor called them routine law enforcement incidents. It seemed to me that we're trying to keep our image really high, that we're killing this, we're rocking this World Cup, and that these are just sideline issues that are just part of life in Kansas City, Marie.
Well, I'm not sure I disagree with that. I mean, that is Kansas City. Kansas City is a violent city, and we just need to embrace that. I mean, we have a shooting like every day in Kansas City. So that's not, I mean, why would we think that just because the world is in Kansas Kansas City, all of a sudden everything around Kansas City is going to change. It's not. And so, yeah, I mean, Kansas City is violent. And I knew there would be violence when the World Cup was here. We put out this image that we're so perfect. We're not. That's not what
And it could have been a lot worse. Yes. A manhunt for a week for the guy who was shooting randomly at vehicles. It could have been a lot worse. And why did it take a week to find him when there was certain evidence that where they knew where the body was?
Well, there are a lot of people asking that question right now. And I'm not sure we have a concrete answer to that other than maybe it was a situation where, for whatever reason, because of the house, the shape of the house that it was found to be in, with water in the basement, that maybe that's why somebody somehow missed discovering the remains. But or maybe it was just maybe a little bit of a lack of communication between law enforcement departments. As
some reports claiming that police and law enforcement were too distracted with the World Cup and Fan Fest.
Maybe so, but from what we're hearing now from the Kansas City Fire Department is they're saying that we had the soft scent of our cadaver canine dog recognizing a body inside that house, and then it was just too flooded and collapsed to follow up.
Complete this sentence for me. Kansas City scored its biggest winning goal during this World Cup tournament when it blank. Dave Helling.
Yeah, I think the appearance of Arrowhead Stadium, we talked about this a little bit last week, once it's filled and once a lot of happy fans are watching soccer, which is, let's face it, for a lot of people, I was explaining soccer rules to my wife last night that I don't even understand. You know, she says, what's offsides? I don't know. It's just a bad thing. But I think the city has shown out well. That's what the winning development has been for me, that when you watch it on television, you see the reaction. And by the way, on social media, in news coverage, despite the problems, real problems with crime in our community, Kansas City appears to be getting very high marks for this.
But how much drier the fans would have been and how much less sweaty the players would have been if it was in the covered stadium in Kansas that's being built?
We don't care about sweaty.
Okay.
They can be as sweaty as they want to be.
The biggest winning goal for Kansas City so far in this tournament has been blank, Marie?
I have to agree with David. I think that when Kansas City turned out for the Netherlands orange fan walk, showing that they were embracing this, they wanted to be a part of it, and they wanted to have it the biggest, best walk ever, that they really showed out.
I have lost count of the number of times that people, not just from this country, but from overseas, and we've run into dozens of them at Union Station, who had this idea, this false idea, I think, of what Americans were like, Midwesterners were like, Kansas Cityans were like, and they're just absolutely blown away with the courtesy that they've been shown throughout this tournament. I do think that that's the biggest benefit, I think,
to
the
World Cup experience. It's all those free soft drink refills.
Well, I don't know if it's that, but Kansas City's image, as Dave said, this is a city that has shined brightly.
Charlie.
I would go back to the Orange Walk when I was out there walking with folks, asking them, how did this compare to other walks? They all said, oh, blows it out of the water. This is amazing. Kansas City rolled out the orange carpet for us.
Ooh, all righty. Well, fill in this blank. Kansas City gets a red card, Dave Helling, during the World Cup for blank.
Well, a couple of things. First, the Netherlands spelled orange with a J. I think that we can be critical of that. You know, we're in America now. But I think the biggest criticism after this is over will be the investment in a city jail, temporary city jail, which isn't ready. And yet there were only, according to KCUR, only two soccer-related arrests.
And those were the people stealing the England gear.
Well, I think we were all worried about hooliganism and brawls in bars. None of that happened. And more broadly, speaking of red cards, more broadly, Nick, one of the biggest legacies of the last 10 years is how Kansas City and Jackson County has bollocksed its jail problem. And that continues and will continue long after the World Cup.
Murray, the biggest red card that Kansas City got during this tournament so far is blank.
I think the first day of traffic.
Yeah.
That was just horrible, with people walking miles and miles, going through wooded areas, trying to get to the
jumping over fences.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. Obviously, it took them some time to figure that out, but I think they have, and I agree.
But didn't you say other cities had similar problems?
New York had the same problem with transportation, built far better for mass transit.
Yeah.
I would only say the other red card might be the hype. the 650,000, whether it's visits or visitors. Granted, it's a two-year-old number. Things have changed, but nothing was done to dial that back.
Which might have set up the businesses. For
maybe.
Hey, what happened?
Maybe.
Is it a mistake to even put a number out?
Well, I think by the time it got out, it was hard to put that genie back in the bottle, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to put a number out to justify the investment.
Okay. Right? Yeah. All righty.
I would say maybe it might be a futuristic red card, but we talked so much about legacy from this World Cup, and right now I don't see us keeping like a shuttle system to the World War I Museum. Like, transportation's probably not going to. We're not going to have any long-term benefits.
Missed opportunity then.
Let me just add this very quickly. Charlie said something very important about the investment. Taxpayer investment in this, we still don't know what that number is, not even close. I've suggested $200 million, it might be more. We need an honest accounting of what the support has been for the World Cup when it's over so that you can make an honest decision about whether it was worth it or not.
Well, believe it or not, there are other stories happening in Kansas City this week beyond orange shirts. In other news, it's official. The signatures have been counted and verified to put a new Royals ballpark to a public vote. So have the tables turned on the project, and can we expect this to be added to the ballot soon, Charlie?
No, I wouldn't expect it added to the ballot soon. I guess the council...
They got the signatures. They're verified. Yeah, what's the problem?
The council's got 60 days to figure out which ballot they want to put it on.
Okay, so I messed this up on my Substack, so I want to make sure I'm clear here.
Charlie's don't want to give you a red card on this one.
That's exactly. Charlie's right, it's 60 days. But if you read the charter, it's 60 days from the time the council is notified of the sufficient petitions at its next meeting.
Okay.
The council didn't meet this week because of the World Cup. So the next meeting of the city council isn't until July 2nd. 60 days after that is August 31st. The deadline for putting something on the November ballot is August 25th. So if they take the full 60 days, which they don't have to, but if they do, it won't be on until sometime next year, maybe February, more likely March or April. They can't ignore this, Nick. They can't. These petitions just won't be wished away. But a vote... to take a vote may not happen until next.
Some people are viewing this, by the way, though, Murray, that with the World Cup there, all in the very vicinity that we would have this Royals ballpark, that will actually elevate the chances and the public viewpoint on this stadium being there.
Well, I love the idea of having the stadium right there at Crown Center. I think it's a beautiful location. I think it's going to add to the city, the look of the city. I just think that our leaders are terrified about putting this to the vote of the people because of what happened last time. They're terrified.
Yeah, and let me just, that's why the World Cup, again, they don't take my advice very often, but the good feelings of the World Cup and the World Cup's presence downtown might encourage the council to go ahead and put this thing on the ballot in November so that that feeling washes over the electorate and you have a better chance of passing than if you wait till next spring.
Now, with enthusiasm for soccer at a record high in Kansas City, City Hall is trying to capitalize on the moment by backing a plan to expand the new CPKC Stadium on the riverfront. The owners of the KC Current want to boost capacity from 11,500 seats to 18,000 seats as part of a new financial deal. The city would greenlight $235 million in bonds to make it happen. Well, first of all, Charlie, are they really packing the place now? It only just opened.
Oh, yeah. The Current are incredibly popular, and I'm under the impression they're close to a sellout at every game.
And this is not about just those games. Are they trying to bid on things like the Women's World Cup as well as the Rugby World Cup?
You know, my question would be at this point, the Current wants this. The Royals want something. The infrastructure problems on the plaza still need to be addressed, and that's going to require public assistance. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And right now, the Current isn't exactly number one on the list.
But you know, we've also given the impression that this is only bonds. It's not real money. But the proposal lands at City Hall at the very time they're asking voters in just a few weeks on the August ballot to authorize up to $1.7 billion in borrowing.
Well, a sales tax increase for the east side is on, I think.
Are we flexing the credit card a little too much?
Well, yes, and we're flexing it. I must say, Nick, I wrote about this. For sports. And we're making a huge bet on sports in Kansas City. The Chiefs, the Royals, the Current, what we do for Sporting KC, the racetrack. Whether that bet is wise or not is something to be determined in the weeks ahead and months ahead. But It is a very sports-centric attempt to build development in Kansas
City. And let's not forget, there's also, I saw on Channel 9 and 41, I saw you doing the story about the Plaza. That's still out there. They still want huge amounts of money. And now are they trying to get this over the finish line by saying, we're going to fund all of these things from affordable housing, we're going to be involved in domestic violence issues and putting money there, and we're going to be putting money into mentorships and internships for young people?
Right. The Plaza made their Plaza promise this week to do a lot of those things and invest in the community and show they're a good community partner. And yeah, you'd have to think that that's probably to put out a little good faith effort to, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
It may be harsh to say it's a bribe, but certainly it does lubricate the process.
If it's a bribe, it's not much of a bribe. Okay. I mean, my colleague David Hudnall said, he called it a pizza party. So, I mean, it's not much of a bribe. I mean, it's pittance in terms of what they're getting for the Plaza, in terms of the incentive that they're getting for the Plaza.
But they're certainly opening up their wallets, Dave, at City Hall, and the mayor will be out of office by that point in time.
Yes, and the next council and mayor, and by the way, the school board and others who depend on tax revenue, will have to deal with the consequences of the decisions we're making now. For example, if the referendum on the Royal Stadium is delayed until next April, that's the primary for the city council and the new mayor. And so the new mayor and council will have to deal with the effects of whatever is decided in terms of the ballpark downtown and the Plaza to some degree, and all the other projects that are under discussion. And that will dominate Kansas City politics, I think, for the next 5 to 10 years.
At the beginning of the program every week, I always say we're going to look at the most confusing and head-scratching stories. How about this one? In political news, is Kansas U.S. Senator Roger Marshall headed for a new job in the Trump administration? And if he resigns, does it mean this year's big Senate election will be postponed until 2028? Can they really be right? Apparently, a little notice change in Kansas law changes the way U.S. Senate vacancies are handled in Kansas, limiting the governor's power to appoint a replacement of someone of this of a different political party. It also gives the new appointee a 2-year period before having to face voters. So no election till 2028. Is this a legitimate concern or a far-fetched political scenario,
it's
Dave?
It's pretty far-fetched. And if you talk to people close to the election, they don't really think it's going to happen. But the chances are not zero that Roger Marshall would quit and then throw into this mix this law about appointing a replacement from a panel from the same party as the victor and then delaying the election. However, you can hear people tell you that the surfacing of this story at this point suggests that Roger Marshall is in more trouble than people know.
Is he thinking of a job in the Trump administration, and is one being offered?
One thing that I would wonder if I was Roger Marshall is, would I really want a job in the Trump administration? It seems pretty volatile. He's only got 2.5 years left on his term. But you might not have a choice if Trump says you need to step aside and take this appointment because we have a better chance with someone else in the Senate.
Usually an appointment only happens after somebody loses and they're in the right party of the White House. But I'm with Dave. The fact that we're even talking about this.
And I don't think people recognize that this situation even exists. Even if it doesn't happen this time.
But the governor could have vetoed it, and she didn't do that.
She did not, which is yet another evidence of Laura Kelly's profile and courage dealing with Republicans. What I think is more likely, if this scenario sort of plays out, is that Roger Marshall runs. He's either elected in November or he isn't. If he loses, Chris is right. The president would presumably appoint him to something. If he wins, he could then wait for a Republican governor, if he assumes one gets elected in November, resign in January, then you appoint a Republican and this whole thing is avoided. We'll see.
When you put a program like this together every week, you can't get to every story grabbing the headlines. What was the big local story we missed? They finally got the votes. Jackson County approves a 6-month moratorium on data centers. It comes as a growing number of Republican lawmakers call on Governor Mike Keogh to call a special session to issue new limits on AI centers in the state. That was fast. Absentee voting now underway in Missouri ahead of the August primary. And an APB is out for Godzilla. No, not this one. This one, a 25-foot-tall inflatable that's been a local landmark for 20 years at Godzilla Fireworks in Independence. The brazen theft now prompting a $1,000 reward for his return. All righty, Charlie, did you pick one of those stories or something completely different?
Kind of on the reptilian theme. of Godzilla, Longview Lou, an alligator, was captured at Longview Lake this week. And so what the heck?
How a did sign of changing weather.
Yeah, climate change.
That captured
my imagination.
Yes. Chris.
Alligators, I have nightmares about alligators because I play golf a lot, and the thought of an alligator on my golf course, like in Florida, we're all starting to do this right now. We're a little bit late because of the World Cup, but Longview Lou.
Murray.
Well, I love the alligator story, but I'm interested in what's happening in Western Missouri. They're doing a lot with Black history, and at a time when, you know, that's under attack right now, I think we should be following what's going on in Weston.
Thank you very much. And Dave Helling.
It was a poll released in the last week, apparently reliable, that suggests that Cindy Holscher has an important commanding lead in the Democratic primary for governor, leading Ethan Corson and Kurt Skoog substantially. Now, there are a lot of undecided still, about 50%, 44% still haven't made up their mind in the Democratic Party. But given what happened in New York, the idea that Democratic primary voters are looking for change and anti-establishment candidates may be helping Holscher and may make her now the favorite to win that.
But isn't it because Kurt Skoog and Ethan Corson are also
splitting
eating each other alive?
And that was another conclusion from the people who published the poll, that maybe they're splitting the anti-Holscher vote and it needs to be consolidated.
But Corson just got on TV in this market for the first time this week, so maybe those numbers
But change. Wait, we will be looking for the headlines. That election could be delayed for another 2 years.
Well, no, I think that's going to happen.
And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed courtesy of the stars Murray Rose Williams and Charlie Keegan from KSHB 41 News, from the anchor desk at KNBC 9 News, Chris Ketz, a news icon, and Mr. Kansas City Stack on Substack, Dave Helling. And I'm Nick Haynes. As America marks 250 years of freedom from the British next week, there will be no show next Friday night. We will return bright-eyed and bushy-tailed the week after. Until then, have a safe and celebratory 4th of July. And, of course, be well, keep calm, and carry on.